Hi, welcome back to Have Roots, We'll Travel. My name is Lisa Elvin Soltari, and I am a genealogist and a passionate traveler. I have been doing a series called Les Filles du Roi, and we are now on episode number 40. And what we're doing is looking at biographies of individual filles du roi, which are the king's daughters, which are a group of ladies that came over to New France and are truly the founding mothers of Quebec. Before we proceed, I just want to make sure you all know that I have a haveRootsWillTravel.com website, Facebook page, and Twitter account. And if you would like, you can subscribe, get notified, like this video, all of the above helps me out so much and lets me know your comments. I also want to know if there's a filles du roi that you have in your tree and would like me to put her to the front of the line for research and to film a biography of her, I'd love to do that. Please feel free to put that, email me or put it in the comments below. I look at everything. So thanks again. Let's get started, shall we? Les Filles du Roi was a program begun by the intendant Jean Talon in New France in 1663. It ran for about 10 years. I've produced a video on my channel called Les Filles du Roi Program, the Program 2.0, and in it I discuss the program, how it started, how the girls were recruited, how they came across, where they came across, all the nuts and bolts of that. It would definitely be a positive thing for you to have a look at that and get some more insight into what your ancestor went through to get to New France. So what is the girl that we're going to be looking at today? Her name is Marie-Rose Petit. Marie-Rose Petit is not one of my great-grandmothers, but instead she was from a viewer request. She is also the great-grandmother of one of my very, very dearest friends, and we are going to be exploring her life and her contribution to New France today. Marie-Rose was born about 1646 in the parish of Saint-Germain-l'Auxerrois in Paris. Her parents were Jean Petit and Jeanne Garibault. Now, the church and the parish that she was born into is found in the first arrondissement, the premier arrondissement of Paris. The church that she, the current church that we're looking at in that picture, was built in about the 13th century with major modifications in the 15th and 16th. From 1608 till about 1806, it was the Paris church for the inhabitants of the palace, and many, many notable artists and architects who worked on the palace have their tombs in this church. So it's a really, really important church in Paris. And since 2019, since the fire at Notre Dame, it has served as the substitute, if you will, for Notre Dame, because it is that large. The first arrondissement is, as you know, is one of the 20 arrondissements. They call it because Paris is laid out in that circular fashion, and it is one of the 20, and it is known as Le Louvre, because obviously the Louvre is found right in it. It's found on the right bank of the River Seine. And it also includes the west end of the Île de la Cité, if you're familiar with that. This locality is one of the oldest areas in Paris, and truly is the heart of the city that was conquered in 52 BC, if you can believe that. So there are, it's one of the cities least populated because they have so many major monuments and that sort of thing. In that, they've got the Tuileries Garden, we've got the Louvre Museum, which takes up a huge amount. Les Halles, which is one of the which is the largest shopping mall in Paris, is found here as well. So it is, I guess, where things are happening for many, many reasons. So this is where Marie-Rose would have come from, and this was the area of Paris that was, even in her time, was very much a happening place. At the age of 22, after her mother passes away, Marie-Rose leaves for New France, and she leaves on La Nouvelle France ship. She arrives in Quebec City on July 3rd, 1668. She would also be joined on that ship by some of my great grandmothers: Françoise Aubé, number 7, video number 7; Marie Talon, number 15; Michel Wainville, number 10; Marie Madeleine Philippe, number 6; and Michel Lidener, that we profiled in video number 34. So already there's quite a number of ladies that we have profiled. So did they hang out? Did they get to know one another? Time will tell. The groom she selected, and who selected her, was named Hilaire Frépier, and he was born in 1651, so he's approximately 5 years younger than Marie-Rose, which for whatever reason I find interesting. In the parish of Saint-Barthélemy in La Rochelle, France. We've seen La Rochelle quite a number of times. His parents were Hilaire Frappier, Sœur de la Chapelle, which simply is an elevated term, meaning sir, distinguished gentleman, and René Duguay. Now, the picture on your right is the bell tower. That's the only thing left of the church of Saint-Barthélemy. It was, you know, during the 1500s, there was a lot of, you know, ransacking of church because of the Protestant revolts. This was one of the churches that got ransacked and destroyed. And just to give you a little bit of a background, this is La Rochelle today. This is where La Rochelle is on the map, on the bottom left of your screen. La Rochelle, it was founded during the 10th century and became one of the most important harbors in the 12th century. Until the 15th century, La Rochelle was to be the largest harbor on the Atlantic coast, and it dealt mainly in wine, salt, and cheese. The name of La Rochelle was actually recorded first in 961. So this is not from just, you know, yesterday. It actually means little rock in Latin. And La Rochelle has truly one of the richest histories in all the towns of France. From its beginnings as an area where the Knights of Templar had their strongest base. And it's also where Eleanor married Henry Plantagenet, Henry II, who became King of England. And he put La Rochelle under Plantagenet rule, I hope I'm saying that right, until Louis VIII captured it in the 1224 siege of La Rochelle. And then it was, you know, they kept regaining control. So La Rochelle has a huge, huge history of being a center for the Huguenots. It was in La Rochelle that the Protestant revolts occurred and created the uprising that would become known as the Siege of La Rochelle throughout the 1600s. The Huguenots were eventually expelled from La Rochelle. I do not know if he was and his parents were Huguenots, but the fact that they left gives us an idea that perhaps, no matter if he was of Protestant faith, he would have had to convert to the Catholic faith in order to do anything in New France. There is no evidence that he did that, so it looks like he was just a Catholic that was just was not a great place to grow up, I'm sure. Marie-Rose married Hilaire Frappier on October 16th, 1668 in Quebec City. So Hilaire and Marie-Rose then settle at a town called Portneuf, which literally means new harbor. In 1636, just to give you a little history, this area was granted by the Compagnie de la Nouvelle France as a seigneurie to Jacques Leneuf de la Poterie. He would become, actually, the substitute governor of Three Rivers eventually. The first colonizers came around 1640 and settled at the mouth of the Portneuf River. By 1674, near that same river, the first chapel dedicated to the Nativity of Notre Dame was built on the Seigneurie of Portneuf. It was abandoned in 1709 in favor of the newly built chapel presbytery in Cap Santé. And it was not until 1860 that a first church was built in Portneuf. So you can kind of, if you're looking for records, and that's one of the reasons I go through the history a little bit of the town, just so you know, like, okay, so they had a church, then they didn't have a church. And so you've got to look at a lot of the documents you're going to be looking for are going to be in Cap Santé. So Obviously, that is the current church that is on your left side of your screen. We've got it on the top center as a beautiful shot of Portneuf, and then the map that gives you an idea of where it is in relationship to Quebec City. So Hilaire and Marie-Rose settle down and begin their family. Let's have a look at how that family grew. We have their firstborn, Marie-Jeanne, who marries Pierre Duranceau, dit Brindamour, and has 10 children, but only 3 of whom reach adulthood. Their second child, François, passes away before the 1681 census. Their third child, Pierre dit Michel, marries Marie-Marguerite Lesage and has 11 children, 7 of whom make it to adulthood. This is actually the line that my dear friend descends from. And then we have Marie, who died in infancy. Then we have Marie-Madeleine, who marries Pierre Esteve dit Lajeunesse and has 11 children, at least 7 of whom reach adulthood. This family is very interesting as they moved to Detroit and were pioneers there. So more research into this line is needed. Their last 3 children, Anne, Pierre, and Philippe, all died in infancy. So they built their family, but unfortunately, Hilaire passes away sometime between 1707 and 1710. According to Peter Gagne's book, which is, again, the Bible, he dies in Quebec City. So it's possible that he went to the hospital, and that's why the records aren't there. This is a picture of the oldest cemetery in Quebec City. So it's possible that that's why we don't have the records. But what happens to Marie-Rose? So Marie-Rose does find love again. Unlike most women of her time, she did not remarry right away. She had raised her family. She really was looking, I suspect, and this is just my supposition, she was looking for companionship. She did find a prospective groom in 1713, but I guess it didn't work out because it was annulled. And then finally, in 1714, she settled on the widower, François Chaloux, dit Lagrange, who himself had 6 children. They were married on the 10th of April, 1714. By now, Marie-Rose was now 67 years old. Just goes to show you, it's never too late to find love. So her and François would have about 5 years together before Marie-Rose would pass away February 5th, 1719 in Quebec City at the age of 73, which is a pretty remarkable age for a woman of her time. And so ends another episode of Les Filles du Roi, episode number 40. Marie-Rose was an interesting study because she was able to find love again and was an independent woman who decided, you know what, I want to have a man in my life, a companion. And I love seeing those stories because women were not that, you know, always that dependent. So sometimes when I see that in a profile, I kind of go, I like that. So thank you, Marie-Rose, for your contributions to North America. Until then, and we do another biography, until then, I will bid you adieu and au revoir, and I'll see you on episode number 41.